Jesus is King. Amen?
Amen.
And the world knows how to create trouble in the middle of peace, but Jesus can create peace in the middle of trouble. Amen. Philippians chapter number 3, if you have your Bible this morning for the next few moments. Philippians chapter number 3, and we're picking up our study through the book of Philippians, verse 17 through the beginning of chapter 4. Philippians 3:17. Paul says, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." Amen. I'm going to tell you today and teach you the pathway to perfection. The pathway to perfection. It is only the gospel, it is only the Christian perspective, it is only the Bible that can lay out this pathway to perfection. I'm going to give you a disclaimer, it's not going to happen in this life. But this is the pathway to it. If you'll notice back in chapter 3, verse 3 through 11, your position in Christ must be established. You must abandon human achievement. You must be justified by faith, your sins paid for by Him, His righteousness credited to you through faith alone. Regeneration has brought this about, making you a new creation. That's the first step. Faith in Christ, justified in Him. Your position is set. Verses 12 through 16, we talked about the pursuit of Christ. Once you've been justified by faith, you begin to press on toward the goal of Christ-likeness. You begin to follow a person, not a system. We pursue Him not to be saved, but because we are saved. We pursue Christ. Now in verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 1, you see here a parody of examples after Christ. First, your position in Christ. Next, your pursuit of Christ. And now a parody of examples after Christ, or a pattern of examples to follow, a parody or an imitation. The Christian experience is not to be lived out on an island. Discipleship is not only taught, but it's also caught. Imitation and influence are part of our creaturely experience. We mimic those whom we place ourselves around for long periods of time. So therefore, be careful who your friends are.
That's right.
Proverbs says, "Choose your companions wisely." A good principle to remember is you are either influencing them or they are influencing you. Which one's happening? Choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 13:20, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Who you choose to imitate, who you surround yourself with, tells me who you are or who you're going to become. Proverbs 22:24, "Don't make a friendship with a man given to anger, lest you learn his ways." Luke 6:40, our Lord Jesus said, "A disciple is not above a teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher." Who you place yourself around is who you will end up mimicking and imitating. Paul says also, "Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Who you imitate is extremely important. So here, the pathway to perfection for those who are in Christ Jesus, number one in verse 17, examples to emulate. Examples to emulate. Paul says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk after to the example you have in us." Paul says here, "Join in imitating me." The great apostle Paul himself lists himself as an example to follow. You're going to imitate somebody. And the principle is to imitate the most mature person that you can find, as the apostle himself. Paul is not being prideful, replacing Christ. He says elsewhere, 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He's not elevating himself. He's giving an example for us to follow because he's imperfect too, just like we are. How does an imperfect man pursue a perfect Christ? Paul says, "Look at me." He says, "Keep your eyes also on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Now, this word, "keep your eyes," this is the word for goal. Fix your gaze. Fix your goal of the person's life that you're following and ensure that they are following Christ and make sure they're the most mature person that you can find. Others who are closely imitating Paul also here is pastors, teachers, elders, mature members in the church. Find someone to imitate, to walk with, to be discipled by. You're either a Paul or you're a Timothy. You're either making a disciple or you are a disciple of someone. If you're not ready to make a disciple yourself, listen, spend time around the most mature you can find until you're ready to influence others. That's the principle. Number two, enemies to evade in verse 18 through 19. Not only examples to emulate, but enemies to evade. Verse 18, for many of whom I've often told you and now tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, many of whom I've often told you. So the context here points to those who probably don't openly deny Christ. And these kind of people are very, very dangerous. Evil deceivers who disguise themselves as angels of light to draw you in. It's easy to spot someone of a false religion, but when they get inside of Christianity, they begin to be disguised as angels of light. It's hard to tell the difference. And Paul is so concerned about this for you and who you mimic and who you follow as an example, as he's telling them, notice, with tears. The church needs healthy, built-up immune system, precise biblical discernment. If you are a person who is easily swayed, if you lack discernment, you need to find someone who has it and learn to think biblically. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test everything. Learn to do this. These people are enemies of the cross of Christ. This is the atoning death that provides salvation. So they are enemies of salvation, whoever they are. And there's two kinds, usually, who are within Christianity. There's the legalists and there's the libertines. They're both associated with the cross, but they often and always redefine grace. The first say that grace is not enough. The second say grace is too much. The first add to the cross. The second take away from the cross. We are justified by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. The same grace that reigns over you is the same grace that trains in you. The cross of Christ provided everything to those for whom it was intended. The cross of Christ paid for every sin and provided every spiritual blessing needed for the elect of God. Saving grace is always effectual. Those who receive it can never lose it, and they will never be the same again.
Right.
But the false teachers corrupt grace. They redefine it. Now, what are these enemies who distort the gospel? What is a description of them? Well, what do they look like? What's an outline of them? Look in verse 19. Their end is destruction. The first thing, their end is destruction. It's important to know where you're going before you ever start the journey, wouldn't you say? These people's end is outlined right off the bat. It's destruction right off the bat. Eternal destruction in hell reserved for those who redefine grace and reject Christ. Be wary of these people. Their God is their belly. Their belly or their appetite. This is their unrestrained, sensual, fleshly, perverted, bodily desires. They reject worship of God for worship of self. They build life around temporary, immediate gratification. They glory in their shame. They're proud of the things that they ought not to be proud of that actually ought to make them feel ashamed. And then they boast in the very fact that they were considered perverse by category. They glory in their shame. And notice they have their mind set on earthly things. Kind of like Demas, who was in love with this present world. The satanic, corrupt world system dominated their thinking. And anyone who loves the world has not the love of God in them.
That's right.
Be careful of these people. Imitate Paul and others like him, the most mature you can find. Be careful, because some people will fall into this category and you won't know it because they call themselves followers of Jesus. Be careful. Number three, and lastly, in your pursuit of perfection. Number three, an encouragement to endure. An encouragement to you to endure. Verse 20 through chapter 4, verse 1. But our citizenship, in contrast, is in heaven. And from it, we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but unlike all the above, our citizenship, the true believers, is in heaven. So where should your minds be if this is true? If this is your citizenship, where should your minds be? They should be thinking above, as Colossians 3 says. Our citizenship. You know the old song, the roll, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Our names are on the roll up yonder. Our citizenship is in heaven, our commonwealth. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are members of Christ's kingdom. Our Savior is there. The departed saints are there. Our inheritance is there. Our reward is there. Our treasure is there.
Amen.
That's where we're going. And from it, with eager patience, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting on Him. Our citizenship is already there, and we're waiting on Him. Hey, right now, listen, you are pursuing Christ, but when He returns, He's going to pursue you.
Amen.
If you're in Him. He will find you. He's coming for you. The end goal of chasing Christ is to become like Him. And when He comes to get us, to get you, if you are in Him, verse 21, He will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. What a thought. By the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Thinking about the future promises of God, that's what faith is, will help you to battle the problems you're dealing with now. There's an eternal, glorious future awaiting us. He will transform our bodies when He comes back to get us. This is glorification. We will finally be perfected. We will eternally wear His perfect image, completely liberated from sin forever. No more sin when He comes to get us. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, He says, "Therefore, in light of this, brothers, whom I love, long for, with my joy and my crown," He says, "stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." Stand firm in the Lord. Hold your position. Hold the line. Keep your eyes on the Lord and on the future He has promised you. Find the mature. Emulate them. Discern the enemies. Evade them. And look to your future as an encouragement to endure. And the Lord Jesus will come and get you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank You for this day and this morning. Thank You for Your truth. Lord, thank You for what the Word tells us. Thank You for all the questions that are answered in Your Word. And thank You, Lord, for Jesus, whom we are awaiting. Lord, He is the King. He's sitting on His throne right now, waiting for the enemies to be made His footstool. And He is coming back to judge and to flip this world upside down.
Amen.
And Lord, we're waiting on Him. We want Him to come. We say, "How long, O Lord?" We cry, "Lord Jesus, come." But Lord, we know that if He comes now, there are some even in this building who will not be with Him forever. There's some He will bring to judgment if He comes today. And Lord, I pray for those people right now that You would draw them to Yourself, that You would show them the Lord Jesus in His humility and in His love. Because when He comes back, He's coming in judgment. He's coming different than when He left. Lord, I pray that they would see Him and bow the knee now, today, this morning, right now. That the knee would be bowed, that the heart would be turned,
Amen.
That Jesus would become beautiful to them. Lord, help us, Lord, to preach. Help us to teach. Help us to labor and to pray and to do Your work, Lord, as instruments in Your hand, Lord, to call people out of darkness and into light.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that someone today would be saved.
Yeah.
We want You to work, Lord. We need You. We need You to work through the Word today, Father. If You don't, it's vain for those who labor. It's vain. We need You, Lord. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the promise that whoever comes to Him, He will never cast out. What a Savior. What a humble Savior who calls to Himself. Lord, thank You for Him. Thank You for His kingship, His lordship, His work of prophet, priest, and king. We give Him glory and honor this morning. In His name, amen.
Amen.